Hi everyone, and welcome to episode 341 of Mighty Whites Podcast. I'm Jack, as always, joined by Casey.
Yeah, that.
All good, mate?
Yeah, not so bad, sir. I mean, struggling with backdoor problems, and that's not a euphemism. But apart from that, yeah.
Yeah, we won't. I mean, no one knows where you live, but yeah. I mean, it'll be fixed, won't it, by soon?
Not by the end of the day.
Yeah, cool. So yeah, it's fine. Casey's backdoor's broken. And it wasn't me this time.
It's not been smashed in.
Yeah.
Yeah. This time,
but, yeah. Well, you'll learn. Leeds won Scum 1. We'll just get straight into it. It was going into the game, absolutely would snap your hand off for a point, and I think it was a fair result. There's a little tinge of missed opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, obviously. I said last time, like I was buzzing going into the game because I genuinely thought this was quite a winnable game when you looked at who was out. Yeah, they've got some quality players still there, but I think when I was listening to, is it on the Match Ball when they're saying that there are grown adults who have never seen Leeds beat Man United at Elland Road at this point.
Yeah, I mean. Have I only seen it once?
I've only been there for one because I wasn't there for Wetherall 97. Yeah,
I wasn't there for that. My first season was a half season ticket that year. And that was first half of the season.
Yeah.
So I've never seen that. The only one I've seen is there was a cross that went in and some fucking just like this invisible, it just deflected enough, no one.
It's just a black line redacted, yeah. Headed in.
Yeah, good crossbar.
Yeah. So I was really excited for this. Obviously, I think when you look at it, especially with the injuries from the last couple of games, the squad is kind of showing its thinness a little bit. Looking at that performance, you'd probably say Barnow looks absolutely knackered from playing a lot of football this season.
I think the only reason we switched to a four late on was because Barnow was knackered.
Yeah.
I mean, we did end up going for it. And to be honest, it sort of worked. We did get a little bit on top for like that last 10 minutes and have a couple of chances. But I do think the motivation wasn't let's go for it and win it. It was Barnow's fucked.
Yeah. I mean, I said last time out, I would have liked to have seen us go with the two big men up top and play that way. I wasn't at all surprised when I saw the team that was put out, especially once we kind of knew that your midfield, especially with Bogle, been out as well then.
Yeah.
I know Longstaff's on the bench, but by all accounts, it seems to be that we're waiting for the Derby game to give him some minutes.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll come on to it when we talk about Newcastle, but maybe he'll get 10, 15 there, we'll see. But it sounded like Longstaff was literally there for an absolute emergency.
Good moral support.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like you say, it is, ultimately, it's a point off sixth in the table.
Yeah.
We've ended another man.
As you brought it up, yeah. We'll get into the game itself after, but yeah, they've sacked Amorim, which, as much as I would love to say, Daniel, and I did on our Twitter say, Daniel Farke, you've done it again, son of a bitch. It does appear to be more that what he, because it was weird on the way into the game. My dad had TalkSport on, and they played a clip of his press conference from before the game. And he was like, I'm not going to sit here and talk to you about tactics again. Now, the thing with Amorim is, and to be honest, you know, now he's left Man United, I quite like Ruben Amorim. I sort of quite like the way he talks. And the thing is that he always gives a pretty good answer. Just give me 1 second as my daughter's just walked into the room. Hi, Ava. Are you okay? Hi. I'm doing a podcast. But so are you going to go upstairs with mummy?
Yeah, okay, good girl. One day we'll have a studio.
Yeah. No, we won't. Well, one day we might. One day we've had a studio. There's like 100, maybe not 100. There's lots of episodes in a studio. Admittedly, it's our mate's studio, but it's a studio. Yeah. And maybe that will happen again. No, what was it? I quite like Ruben Amorim, the bloke. He always seems to give straight answers in press conferences. He, as much as he's wedded to his system, which he shouldn't have been, he should have switched to a back four. Like, it just, I quite like that sort of guy. And now that he's not Man United manager anymore, I can say it. But it was the first time I'd ever heard him like refusing to answer journalists' questions. And then after the game, this, I'm here to be the manager, not the head coach. Even though I'm pretty sure he is the head coach, like in his contract and on paper.
Well, I was going to say.
Unlike Daniel Farke, who is the manager.
I mean, they operate with a director of football and whatever the other one is. So you know, it's, you are a head coach at that point. There's very few actual managers these days, certainly at the top level. But yeah, things were getting very spiky, and it's interesting because obviously last season was disastrous for them, hilariously so.
Yeah. And oh God, I was so on. I was as happy when Spurs beat them in that European final. Like, I was like Leeds winning a big game levels of happy, because I was just like, I don't mind if Spurs get away with having a ridiculously awful season and they just get away with it.
Hmm.
I can't have Man United being that shit and get away with it.
But it's one of those things that, the amount of times where we've been at the pub watching them, and there's been you, me, and Alex there, and I just say, like, I know he was your player of the year last year. I know he had a fantastic season, but quite why Bruno Fernandes is being played as a deep lying midfielder is beyond me. He's your best player. Build the team around him.
Yeah, it is amazing how often it happens, and I'm so glad that they have sacked Amorim now, because. Look, they probably will short-term get better, but it's more of the same churn, and I think long-term that's always going to be bad for them.
And yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite funny watching a team that doesn't really have a plan of succession. Having seen poor succession, it's quite funny to see it with someone else, but I mean, talking to Alex yesterday, and at one point De Zerbi was being linked, and I was like, oh God, your team is not set up for this.
Well, I mean, I suppose De Zerbi's kind of proven himself to be a bit of an arsehole, so being the Man United manager.
Right in.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they're sixth in the table, and I know that there's a big gap to the top three, but we're only 3 points behind Liverpool. And there's, again, I don't mind defending him now he's been sacked. Their bench yesterday had Tyrell Malacia, who was out for so long that there were conspiracy theories that he was dead. Joshua Zirkzee, who came on and legitimately made a difference, an all-time Iron Deer as the goalkeeper, and children. And children that, me, who does pay a decent amount of attention to football, a couple of them I didn't know who they were. I'm not on about like Fredrickson and the Fletchers, who've come on a couple of times. There was one of them. I don't remember his name now. And
look, could have been anyone.
How was it? Kokonki. Yeah, no idea. I've only heard of that man Tato because he came on in a game not long since when I was in the pub. I think that in 18 months, when I'm somewhere else doing a lot better, they'll post that bench from the game against Leeds. You know, in the way that Leeds fans post the bench, that squad that we had against Arsenal around Christmas when Bielsa refused to call the game off because he was too proud for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
How we post that and go, look what he was working with. I think they'll do the same. I'm not saying he's always going to walk and he's going to be Champions League winner or anything, but I think he will be good somewhere else because the club's the problem. In the same way that at Chelsea, the management structure means managers are going to get sacked all the time. It's the same there. And it's hilarious. And I hope that it goes as long as possible. I hope everything except going out of business happens to them. I hope they stay in business, but in League Two.
Well, it's, I mean, as FMO7 could attest to, in the not so distant future in 2031, Arsenal in the Championship, it can happen.
Yeah.
But
and I do think that the, like, considering how shit they are, like, there were bits about, like, their midfield, I thought, looked pretty good. I thought it was about, it's about the best game I've seen Agate have.
I think the way your dad sort of phrased it was perfect. They just looked so much more composed on the ball between Agate and Casemiro. And Cunha was quite often dropping off the front line and just getting into that gap.
Yeah, he was their best player by a distance until Xerxes came on, and then he was similar.
Yeah. But there were definitely positive elements to their game, and I thought there were, they definitely created some chances that, I think I said to you, like, some of Zheshko's play in build-up was really good. And then there was a couple of chances that fell to him 6 yards out, and he was just dreadful with them.
Yeah, I'll mention it now. That one he missed in the second half, where it gets pulled back to him. I mean, I thought for all the world that was in, because I was like, I saw a pullback to 70 million quid's worth of striker and just assumed, well, that's a goal.
Passes it straight out of play.
It was a dreadful finish. But for as much as they had, I do think they had the better of the midfield. And I'm not sure they would have if Ampadu was playing, but it happens. Chances-wise, I think it was pretty even. I mean, Cunha has that goal disallowed early on, which is, again, because it got disallowed, I can say it, great finish. But we didn't even panic in the... people in the cop or the south stand might have. But from side on, you were never panicking because there were three of them 3 yards offside. And Sesko had jumped for the ball. So you knew it was offside from side on anyway.
Yeah.
They had a couple as guide. And probably the best chance of the half was Leeds. The stack cross that Calvert-Lewin hits the post with. Should he have done better with that?
I don't know if I'm being honest. I think watching it, I think it's quite a good glancing header. I think it's unlucky with that. I think from when I've watched it back, I don't know if I could go so far as to say he should score.
No, I think it's one that he will think he should have done better with, because he is unmarked.
Hmm.
But I think it's a good effort. Like, it's a, if he gets that much space, he would always back himself, I think, in that situation, but it's a decent effort. And to be honest, like, that was the first half in nutshell. I have to admit, I don't think it felt like Leeds v Man United.
No.
It was a bit quiet. It wasn't poison. There was only one yellow in the entire game, and that wasn't for a bad tackle. Dog who just timed it wrong. It didn't really get going in that sort of spiteful way that it always used to.
Yeah, I don't know whether it being a 2 o'clock kickoff would have made much difference to the atmosphere. I don't know if it's because it's people are up a bit, people are there a bit earlier. It's very cold.
Early kickoffs atmospheres are generally not great, and it was freezing. Like, I never get cold at the game, and I did on something.
Yeah, I think the other part of it as well is that the game itself didn't offer a whole lot, and it was scrappy, but not in the way that, outside of that challenge on Cunha where it's Stack and Bornau are, yeah, both
which
there.
Is a couple of minutes in.
Yeah. Outside of that, there wasn't really that tackle that went in that sort of G'd everyone up. It was a nervy performance, I think, as well, in as much as we gave away a lot of possession in midfield. There was sort of a lot of rushed passes. So I think it just became a bit tense. So I think kind of all those things together meant it ended up being a bit quiet. I know, obviously, they started singing about, you know, where's your famous atmosphere? And then promptly they also stopped singing.
Yeah, as I say, the weird thing was that they started singing that really early at the point where the atmosphere, it wasn't Leeds as it should be for Leeds Man United. But it was all right early on. And weirdly, it was weird that they started singing that before they actually really dropped off. When the second half kicked off, there was nothing. I couldn't believe it. But I do think that the square ball lads had a point with the one, we've been away from them for a while, but two, that team of theirs, you don't care about them in the way that you do. It's not like they've got... If Bruno Fernandes had been there, we'd have spent 90 minutes calling him a cunt, and that would have been better for the atmosphere.
Yeah, there's with him away, with him out, there's no one else really in that team. Like, I know Casemiro gets a lot of red cards, but it's not like he's a Robbie Savage type who's picking up a yellow card week on week on week, or a particularly like niggly player or anything like that. It's just, there's no one in that team who I find particularly hateable. Maybe it's because they're all not that good for what you think of a Man United player.
Yeah, I think the only one in that team that I could say, like, I probably don't like you is Lisandro Martinez. Because fake hard men annoy me. But, like, he's about it. And I barely noticed they're on the pitch. So it's weird. It says a lot, but we don't know the sort of thing about the game itself. But the second half, not a lot happened except for a four-minute period. Strout ball over the top, which is more in hope than expectation. But Aronson is alive to it. Outpaces Yoro, gets beyond him. Fantastic finish on his left foot. The one really great noise that you heard. It's a great finish. And we said it at halftime when we were in the ground. Our best player.
Yeah, and I'll go so far as to say it's by a fair distance as well. In that,
I thought Biol was really good as well, but I thought Aronson was excellent in the first half, and in the second half he wasn't quite as good, but he got this goal, and that's worth a lot.
Yeah, I thought he was very, very positive on the ball. I think in the first half there's that moment where he drives at a few defenders and has that shot that ends up going wide, but it was the first. It was quite a nice attack, and we hadn't. I think that might have been like our first real chance of the game. When Aronson has that shot, but yeah, he I know nominally he was the right winger in the system, but he was all over the place.
Yeah, he was the one really coming inside a lot more than Okafor did. He if someone was going to get near Calvert-Lewin, it was almost exclusively him. But it was just like it was. Yoro is not that slow a defender, so it was good pace to get beyond him, and it wasn't just that. It was such a confident finish. It was not the sort of thing that you associate with him, really. But maybe he's finally got that confidence, you know? Because that's like five pretty good games in a row.
Yeah, and I hope it continues, because I can actually respect him somewhat.
I legitimately thought that there was a chance that we might hear that American Boy song for the first time since like 2 weeks after we signed him. But I didn't hear it anyway. It didn't quite get an outing. I think it would have done if they wouldn't have scored within 3 minutes.
Yeah. It all turned very quickly.
Yeah. They immediately bring on Xerxes for Yoro. Drop Dorgu deeper, and so they've got a bit more of a proper attacking three with Xerxes, Cunha and Sesko. Sesko gives it to Xerxes. Xerxes, really well-weighted through ball. Cunha goes through, finishes well. But the story from the Leeds end is Perry. I haven't even read the comments yet, but I bet one of them is this. Yep, cheers, Michael. Perry had stayed on his line and not chased out to stop Cunha, he wouldn't have scored. Bornau had him covered. I think it's even worse than that in a way, because I think if he doesn't come out, it's a difficult chance. Maybe Bornau blocks it. Maybe it's a difficult shot. If he does come out straight away and actually come off his line properly and narrow the angle, it's a difficult finish because you've got no angle to make the finish from. He came halfway, and when you see it back, it's not. He doesn't even come out on the correct line. He comes out way too far over to his near post. So he comes out and opens the angle instead of closing the angle. It's like the absolute worst of both worlds, what he did. He made a really good save from that sort of Casemiro header in the first half that got flicked on. But this was... It's really poor goalkeeping.
Yeah, it's... It's that thing now with... Not quite so much... We're not on the Melier level yet, but...
Oh, nowhere near.
But you're also getting to that point now where if there is a high ball that's going to bounce between him and a centre-back, it's very Kiko Kasia is where it is at the moment, is that I do not have the confidence in him to deal with it, and he's just going to stick himself somewhere halfway in between and not take control of the situation.
Because there were things he was doing better. Like, they were swinging every corner in right under the bar and putting, like, five men on him. And he was getting fouled like, oh, and he got something on all of them. There was one of them where he got basically shoved into back at goal, and he still managed to... It wasn't the best punch of the world, but he still managed to punch it away, which I thought was pretty good goalkeeping. But this... Weirdly, bad decisions from goalkeepers, in a way, worry me more. Because it means that they're not thinking straight. And that's always a bad sign. It stays in because he's better than Darlow. But I just know what's going to happen in January. But so long as if everything keeps going as it is and Leeds stay up, might be something worth looking at the end of the season.
Yeah, I know on the don't go to bed just yet. I think when they went through everyone on there at the live show asking if you were going to bring someone in, I think everyone said a striker apart from Popey, who went with another goalkeeper, which I know that would then mean you're more than likely ending up with five goalkeepers on your books at one time. But I think it sort of showed the confidence or lack thereof that he has in Perry at the moment. I don't know if I can go so far as to say that he's cost us games yet, because I don't think it's been... I think in instances that have been quite bad, they've also been in games where we've probably not been looking great anywhere. You know, I think you take some of the criticism from, like, the Forest game, where I don't think he covered himself in glory, no. But we were also...
shite.
Yeah. But it is disappointing in an instance like that where... given how the game was, that we could have quite feasibly come out of that with a 1-0 win. And then all of a sudden you're 10 points clear of West Ham and you can start... Some people can start saying things about safety.
Yeah. Yeah, I would not have said it yet. Although I will say that another fiver did go on at 12-1 the other day. The subs were a bit of a mixed bag. Mecha for Okafor, and he came on and played on the left, which I don't particularly like, and it didn't work. Later on, Leeds had a couple of really good breaks with, like, bodies forward, and it got into Mecha and just died both times. I would have much rather seen Nonto on the left in that situation for that reason. But he was on the right. He came on for Bornau and went to back four. Nonto wasn't really involved that much. Couple of little silly fouls like he does. Other than that, nothing much. Tanaka for Gruev, didn't really notice anything. The interesting one was Peru for Aronson, which scared the bejesus out of me in those circumstances. Especially when you saw how deep Peru was off the ball. Stack was the one going forward and helping with the press, and Peru was a centre mid at times, but especially off the ball. But I actually thought he had a pretty good 10 minutes. Was good in possession. Wasn't a problem out of possession. That curling effort that landed on the roof of the net was a really good effort, and the one he had blocked was a pretty good effort as well.
Yeah, I thought in and around the penalty area, he actually looked a bit of a threat. And kind of as you've gone through those subs there, again, I was a bit disappointed that when you looked at how we were in possession, especially in that second half, that we didn't go to the front two. Because I think that would... I would have preferred that too. I think it would have relieved some of the pressure on the midfield. You know, that if you've just got someone near Calvert-Lewin who also has the ability to hold up the ball and just keep the ball up the pitch a bit longer. Because again, Calvert-Lewin, very quiet game for him because we weren't particularly playing direct to him.
He won his share of flick-ons, but most of them came to nothing. Again, that issue when we do play with three instead of two, it's a bit harder to get that right.
Yeah, and I thought Aidan Heaven had a good game against him as well. For a young lad, I thought he dealt with him quite well and like you say, what a fair few of those headers. So that's kind of the route I would have gone, but you know, like you say, Peru allayed my concerns when he ran onto the pitch and seemed to go to holding midfielder. But yeah, I mean, the one thing is, I will also say, I don't doubt his technical ability on the ball. It is very much his speed.
Yeah, well, I mean, there was one of them, wasn't there, where he got the ball down well, beat the first player, and then knocked it round one and tried to run round the other side of it, just ran and got the ball.
Ah, we've all been there.
We've all done it. Because he's, I say, it's not like he can't, it's not like he struggles stamina-wise. He's just that pace the whole time.
Yeah.
I say, obviously, I thought Aronson was best player on pitch, and then probably Beall. Strouk did fairly well. I thought Goodmanson was pretty decent again. Thought Stack was pretty good. Gruev against the ball was fine. I thought he lacked a bit of quality on it.
I would have said this one not to rekindle my Stack's a fraud. But I did think I think you could tell he'd played nearly all of the festive fixtures and Nyon played every minute. Because I thought he looked quite tired towards the end as well. And I think he's one of the few that's not rotated in or out in that time. You know, Tanaka started a couple, Gruev started a couple. Whereas I think he plays nearly the whole 90 for most of those games.
Yeah. I think he will stay in, but I suppose there is an argument for doing Tanaka for Stack for that reason, but with the next game being Derby in the FA Cup and you can just rest everyone, I think we'll be fine to leave him in.
I can't wait to see Scott Gardner's children take on Derby at this point.
It's amazing how little I care. I'm not even going to see that game. I am doing a 24-hour charity thing on Sunday. It starts at 11 a.m. That is what that QR code is. Which reminds me, if I press this button, there we go.
Bloody hell.
I am doing a 24-hour Blood on the Clock Tower thing. You do not need to know what that is. Look it up. It's a great game. You should play it, but you don't worry about it. The important thing is that QR code takes you to a Just Giving page where raising money for DRASAX, which is the Doncaster Rape and Sexual Assault Counselling Service. It's all going to be streamed 24 hours from Sunday at 11 a.m. to Monday at 11 a.m. I am aware it is early January and everyone's skint after Christmas, but if you've got a couple of quid you can spare, it'd be much appreciated. Shout out to Dietrich, who I saw put some in earlier. It would be great if you could stick some in, but if you're skint, don't worry about it. Charity is never expected and always nice if you can. Will we get any charity out of Newcastle?
No.
No.
Good night, everybody.
I have to admit, I'll just say this now. I think, just in terms of style, Newcastle are such a terrible matchup for us. And it's not like when we played them early in the season when they had like five players out and we hadn't signed Baltimore yet. They've still got plenty of players out, but it's not like Guimaraes being out like it was at Elland Road. And I think, was Joe Linton out as well? I know they had a load of midfielders missing, but Dan Byrne and Anthony Elanga are definitely out. as is Emil Kraft, but he wasn't going to play anyway. When I watch them at home, they just seem to always be on it. Their press seems to be pretty much as well coached as it can be. And they seem to have all the just physical ability to run like chuff all day. I did see a thing saying Jacob Murphy might be struggling for this one as well, that he'd tweaked something. But all that means, a winger getting injured just means that they'll play Harvey Barnes, and Harvey Barnes versus Leeds is like messy.
It's not Scott McTominay against Leeds.
Yeah, it's a weird thing where I just think that it's a really good team. They are struggling a little bit at right back because I think Livramento's been struggling with injury as well, so he might be on the bench. But they've dropped Lewis Miley into right back, and by all accounts, he's been really good the last few games. Lewis Hall at left back, who I think should be England's starting left back. I think he's great. Malik Chow has been really good from at centre back, and it'll probably be Fabian Scher next to him because Dan Burn's out. There's also Botman as well. I don't know. I think he is fit, but he hasn't been starting as much. But it's for front six.
He's knocking on a bit these days.
Yeah, that is a reference for no one. I was mixing Sven Botman up with someone else and thought that Sven Botman was like 34 years old and he's 25.
Good times.
Yeah, I still don't know who I was mixing him up with, but it must have been someone. It's the front six that I rely. Obviously, if Murphy's out, it's probably Gordon and Barnes on the wings. You can play Voltomada or Wisser up top, and they're both good. Wisser has actually got going again after his injury now. But that midfield three, Tonali, Guimaraes, Joelinton, that midfield three could be at any team in the league and they would all be happy with it.
Yeah. I think generally as a season, I would imagine Newcastle fans are probably a bit disappointed. I know last year they had that very poor first half of the season and then pulled it round and they got the... I think they qualified. They would have qualified in terms of league position as well, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
But they won did they win the League Cup?
Yeah, they won the League Cup, which meant that they finally, finally brought that trophy hoodoo, which had been going for a long time. But I mean, they ended up fourth.
Yeah.
As well.
And then this season, they've been, especially away from home, they've not been as good. I was looking earlier. At home, they have got 20 points out of 10 games from home.
Yeah.
So they've got a pretty good record. By rights, they should probably beat us. Like they are, they on paper, they're a very good team.
Yeah.
I
said how weird I found it that Leeds were favourites against Man United. I think Newcastle are a bit too big and the 4-6 for this one. And I think that's, if anything, quite a generous price.
Just
because of how good they are at home. At Elm Road, different story, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think, was it the week before that they played Chelsea when Eddie Howe was talking about the... It sort of went to one of those who was talking about the players' commitment and expected levels from them. So I know they've had a few disappointing results this season, and like, but they are much better at home than they have been away. What are they in the table at the moment? Are they ninth?
Ninth.
Yeah.
29 points. 1 point behind Sunderland, which I just mentioned because it's interesting.
Having lost to Sunderland as well, so. A couple of weeks ago, I just said Eddie Howe's job was probably on the line. I think they've had a few better. I'm saying that though. Like they had that first half where they played Chelsea and they just played them off the park. They were absolutely fantastic. And then the second half, Maresca seemed to give some sort of rallying cry and they put in a belting performance. Lost 1-0 to Newcastle in what was a pretty poor game.
I was going to say you keep doing that lately, just saying the same team twice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they're beating themselves, aren't they? It's a mental thing. Yeah, lost to Man United 1-0 in what was a very poor game. But they've won the last two. And I would imagine if you are a Newcastle fan looking at playing Leeds at home, then you would probably fancy yourselves.
Yeah, you do. I mean, this goes for both teams. I thought both teams looked tired in Leeds-Man United. This, because it's another midweek game without a rest, will probably be the same. But they're probably better equipped to deal with it than we are. Like, if one of those midfielders is knackered, although they would definitely, I think they'll definitely start their first choice midfield. But you've got, like, you could move Lewis Miley just back into midfield and play Livramento or Kieran Trippier if he's fit. They've got that Joe Willock, who is there is really, really, really weak links with Leeds. But I don't think there's out to it. They've, you know, it's just they've been in the league a lot longer. You've got that bit more time to build up. Like Nick Pope has been quite poor all season and he sort of got dropped, didn't he?
Yeah. And then what is it, Ramsdale's, did he get injured? He's back or was back on the bench anyway. So
if he was back on the bench for now, but I suppose if Pope played the last one and they kept a clean sheet, he'll stay in.
Yeah. Like I said, just looking at their team. So Livramento comes on in that one.
Oh, they've got Jacob Ramsey as well, haven't they? As well for that midfield role as well. Like they've got quite a lot there.
They've got a very good squad there. And like I say, on paper, that midfield three, I would expect them to very much dominate against us.
Yeah.
It's
why I am fully on the play Calvert-Lewin and Metcher in this one. We can't play a midfield two against their midfield. Aronson's been that good that if you want to keep him in and play him as part of that three, okay, I'm fine with that. It's weird because Aronson had such a good game and I probably would drop him for this one and play Tanaka and have a bit more of a solid midfield because of who we're against. But if Aronson stays in, that's perfectly reasonable. He's been really good.
Yeah.
I bring him on with half an hour left to tear us around.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think it would make sense to go with two up top and then, like you say, to either Tanaka or Aronson, Ampadu and Stack. I think would probably make the most sense. That's the saving grace for us is that Ampadu will be back in.
Yeah, that helps a lot. So, like, Ampadu, Stack, Tanaka for me, but it'll definitely be Ampadu and Stack, I would have thought, unless Stack is that knackered. With the way the squad is at the minute, we can't really change a great deal else. I mean, if Bogle's back, he comes in for Justin.
Yeah, I think Justin has had a few good performances. Man United wasn't as good. I thought certainly on the ball. I think I said to you, I think in the first half especially, he put in a few crosses that were just poor. Defensively, I thought was fine. But yeah, if Bogle's fit enough, I'd certainly have him back in. Because it's one of those as well with them. If they are fit enough and not to the point where you're concerned about them getting an injury or anything, you play them in this and stick Sam Chambers in against Derby or whatever you need to do to protect some of them.
Yeah. I mean, the argument would be like maybe Bornau's knackered and Justin plays right centre back. But
yeah.
There can't be. There isn't a load. What this last month has sort of made me think is that we could really do with another left back.
Sam Byram's there.
Yeah, because Goodmanson's just having to play every minute and he's going to end up knackered. And if he got an injury, like Justin would play there, but that requires Bogle to be fit. And it's all a bit...
Yeah.
I think we probably need another James Justin. Someone who can cover a couple of positions at the back.
Yeah, I agree. So if you can get a left-footed centre back who can play left back as well, or something like that. Yeah. Because we do need another centre back.
At the minute, it might even you might end up in a situation where it's Strouk at left wing back, and that's he could do it like at a push, but it's not what you want.
Well, I mean, let's see, not to get too carried away, but if you were to look ahead to the Derby game and think, right, we are going to make wholesale changes, what centre backs can you actually bring in to rest the current ones? You know, if you're saying Roden is unavailable for this, they're hoping to have him back the week after the FA Cup. Strout could do with a rest. Biol's probably not so bad because he didn't play the. I know he's played everything over the Christmas period since Man City, but has played a bit less generally this season. Bonnell looks like it probably worth taking him out and saving him for the league.
Well, I mean, I think it's.
I suppose if Roden's coming back, then do you play Bonnell with the view that he's more likely to drop to the bench after that? So.
Yeah, it sort of depends. It depends on fitness, but the answer anyway is Johnny Howson.
It's going to be Howson, a Byra, Ben Parker. Yeah.
I would definitely go to the two up front for this one. Do you think he will? I mean, I know that it nominally was that against Man United, I thought, because Aronson ended up sort of more 10 buzzing about dropping in anyway. But Okafor was definitely off the left.
I would be, purely because I think in a game like this, I don't really think you can afford to have Okafor on the pitch in the hope that he gets a bit of a run at things, but doesn't actually see a lot of the ball. And I think there are, especially against better teams, he can end up being a bit of a passenger. So I wouldn't mind this being a game where he drops out.
Yeah, I'm saying I'd play Metcher for Okafor in this one. But again, Okafor does give you the chance to counter if it's there, because he's like, although he didn't have the best game, he did knock it by their defenders and beat them a few times. So yeah, I actually think he will play Okafor, but I wouldn't. I would play the big lads for this one because I don't think we're going to have much of a ball.
Yeah, I'm with you in that one. Like I say, I think a lot of it also now just comes down to fitness levels, but just get us to the FA Cup at this point and rest people.
Michael has just mentioned in the comments that we would not mention. Did you see James De Bio's gone to Hull?
You did mention that, didn't you, before the game?
A mate of mine from uni, Mike, messaged me because he's a Hull fan. So he was after a review, and I was like, well, look good in the 21s, but he played about 10 minutes for the first team, so I can't really tell you loads.
Cody and Joe and Lewis.
Little Lisa. Little Marge.
And the rest.
I don't have a prediction off Connie. I mean, it will be a draw or a win. I will add it to the sheet when he sends it in. He's at work at the minute, so he won't see in his phone. But little Danny's got 1-1. Benny's got 2-2. Alex has got 2-1 to Newcastle. I have 1-0 to Newcastle.
Well, this is going to be a rare one because I'm going to be less optimistic than you. I'm going to go 2-0 to Newcastle.
Yeah, I mean, I was actually right with the thing that I said on the podcast last time. We had a split of losses and wins, so put all your money on the draw.
Yeah.
This one, by the looks of it, it depends. Connie will probably go for a win, so we won't have a no one's got it, so it'll definitely happen. I have to admit, their pressing scares the shit out of me. Don't try and play out from the back, Leeds, for fuck's sake. Another
reason to start Metro up top.
Yeah, just get the ball up to the big guys.
Worry about the rest of it later.
I don't think they're that... Like, Tonali and Gimaraes are... They're really good, but they're not number 10 tricky. So I do think if you keep it solid and just look to counter, you've got a chance. But I think their quality will tell in the end. But hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully we can extend it. We will... I will just briefly mention the game tonight, because it is worth mentioning. West Ham Forest.
Yeah, it's one of those where do I go Forest, even though it puts that, would that put them ahead of us or level with us?
It would put them behind us. We're 4 points clear of Forest.
Okay, so it put them a point behind, but it would also.
I'm firmly in the Forest or draw camp.
Yeah, I think
don't want West Ham to win.
Yeah, because especially going into a game like Newcastle, it's if they were to lose first, I can at least look and go, I know Forest are right behind us, but it gives us that free hit against Newcastle, then at least go look. At the very worst, we're going to maintain the gap.
Yeah. For those around us, which does definitely include Bournemouth now, because there's only one point above us. Bournemouth are home to Spurs. Wolves, who should be gone, but they've won one game. Maybe they'll win five more. They're away at Everton.
Are they not unbeaten in two?
Yeah, they are. Unbeaten in two. Burnley at home to Scum. So that just given what it's like, if you can't rely on Scum to beat anyone. So, yeah, we'll see. But hopefully we can come out of this week. I mean, we're currently 8 points clear. Hopefully we're at least 8 points clear.
By the way, just looking at the form table on Google, when you're looking at Forest, who have lost the last four, and West Ham, who have lost four of the last five, it's got the makings of a 5-5 draw or 0-0.
Yeah.
There's not enough Bradford versus West Ham in the world. Like just two teams that are near or in the relegation zone who can't defend for shit, just scoring past each other every time they go forward. The Premier League needs more of those games. It needs more Jamie Lawrence. That's what I'm saying.
I'd be honest, I was waiting for you to finish so I could go, so who's going to be the Jamie Lawrence in this situation? But yeah, I've just checked something, mate, and that will definitely do us, because the thing I have to do, the bus is in 9 minutes, and the two that follow it are both cancelled. They said something horribly racist. So yeah, that will do us for episode 341 of My Rights Podcast. I've been Jax here.
I've been Casey. Have a good one.
In a bit.